Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Standing on My Soapbox, the weekly rant, rave, and review radio show where we talk all of the good, the bad, and the ugly of the past week's current events. Join your host, Scott Fullerton, and this week's special guest co-host,
Jeremy Gatto.
You're also invited to call in and stand on my soapbox with us. Call now at 347-989-0126 to join the conversation. Now, here he is, stepping up to the microphone, your host, Scott Fullerton.
Woohoo! Hello, everybody. Guys, I just got my brand new opening for this brand new show, and boy, it sounds like Mr. Roboto without the music underneath it. I promise by next week there will be music underneath it, and it'll be a lot more fun. But welcome to the show, everyone. This is Standing on My Soapbox, our weekly call-in show where we talk pop culture, LGBT news, politics, Wednesday, January 11th, and you're all welcome to call in and share your thoughts and topics we go over or bring up some of your own. Again, the call-in number today is 347-989-0126. Today's special guest is one of my best friends, Jeremy Gatto. Jeremy's a huge pop culture and politic junkie just like me. He's a straight ally, music and technology fiend, and even more. Everybody, welcome to the show, Jeremy. Jeremy, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing today, Scott?
I am doing fantastic. Welcome to the show, my friend. Kind of fun doing a radio show from our own separate houses. We don't have to be in the same room. This is cool.
Yeah, you gotta love technology.
This will be just like we talk over and bitch about everything over coffee all day long.
Yep.
Well, welcome to the show, my friend. We have lots of stuff going on to talk about today. Lots in politics going on right now. Jeez, oh man, oh. Of course, we have all the confirmation hearings going on in the Senate. Trump had his first big press conference in 5 months today. We had Obama's farewell address last night. Where do you want to start?
Let's talk about Obama's farewell address.
Were you able to see it last night?
I was. What did you think about it?
I thought it was good. I thought it was really good. He was. It was a little more somber than I thought. I thought it was going to be maybe a little more pep rally. Got a little pep rally at the end. I think it went very well talking about his accomplishments, which has been said over and over again on the campaign trail, but I don't think ever really sunk in. Hopefully it'll really start sinking in with some people. I mean, he started in a real negative place in our country as far as the economy, jobs, and everything else. And it's ended in such a positive. Has he done everything he needed to turn this country around? No way. And in 8 years, do you wish he could? Yeah. And could he have done some stuff better? Yes. But are we better off than we were 8 years ago? Just looking at that laundry list, I don't know how you could dispute that. Can you?
No, I don't. But personally, I just felt like, you know, he could have delivered a little bit more of a barn burner than what he delivered. I thought it was a little bit too laid back, in my opinion. But, you know, this whole administration, that's how I thought about Obama. I voted for him twice, but at the end of the day, I felt like, you know, he could have stood up to some things a little bit better than he has.
Well, I think that's a lot of the criticism that he's gotten, and rightfully so. Is he never was one to trump his own accomplishments to begin with, which it doesn't seem like such a stark comparison until you see our president-elect now who takes credit for everything. But I don't think Obama ever tried to take credit for anything he'd get done and just kind of hoped everyone would kind of understand what happened. And I don't think it was ever really talked about that much. Kind of strange.
Well, the biggest shock to me, though, is with the Supreme Court nomination. I really felt that he should have taken that into the court system, and I still don't understand why he didn't. For me, that's an enormous disappointment. I mean, he had the full attorney general and everybody at his disposal that he could have pushed it into and possibly gotten a Supreme Court decision to try to get this nominee onto the court, and he didn't do that. And that's probably one of his biggest disappointments for me as president.
Right. I mean, we got Trump today in his news conference talk about what he's going to do within the first 2 weeks. And just for them, for our Congress to deny our sitting president, it was like 10 and a half, 11 months to appoint a Supreme Court. That's not a short amount of time. I mean, it's not – you. I just don't understand how he let them get it. Like you said, whether he had to sue the Congress. I don't know what he had available to him besides his bully pope. pulpit, but he didn't even use that very effectively. He had one good news conference out on the South Lawn there, but he didn't even use a bully pulpit that much, I don't think, to really kind of push that. Because there's no way there. I mean, the Congress said, we need to wait for the people to speak. Well, the people spoke 3 years, 1 month ago for entire 4 years. Where's that people? Where's my voice that counted 4 years ago? It feels like he got a lot more popular votes back then than Trump did now. So I think our voice was a lot stronger back then than it is now. It was a little crazy, I think.
I agree with you, and I think the court would have agreed also. I believe if he would have taken it into the courts, I believe he would have found the court sympathetic to his argument. Put a nominee out there, he's given it, and they refused to hear it. You know, as far as I'm concerned, then, you know, he should be able to go ahead and just place him on the court. I mean, there shouldn't be any question here. That it shouldn't be that he's blocked, that he's not able to put anybody. It just doesn't make sense.
Right.
It never made sense to me.
Yeah, I think that'll be one of my disappointments with Obama is that he didn't use that bully pulpit frequent enough, and that's big in the Supreme Court. I also don't think as much as he wanted to reunite everyone, I don't think he's a good small talk person. I don't think he used that power to bring a lot of Republicans over to talk to, even Democrats. He never brought a Democrat over to the Oval Office for the first 6 months I think he was in office. To talk. He's just not a one-on-one type of guy. And as far as doing that kind of schmoozy stuff, which is weird with how social he is really as a president, outgoing, but it seemed with Congress, he just didn't do well in that. I thought it was a little strange.
Right. The only other thing I'd like to add to that is Michelle Obama 2020.
Oh my God, so much so.
Just leave it out there.
And you have him. That's the one time he really teared up last night talking about her. You saw Sasha's oldest daughter there. She was tearing up. That was really the moment of the night. And I think everyone there gave her such a rounding support and standing ovation that you're right. Michelle Obama 2020 would be my dream, girl. I'm telling you.
I know. Sadly, it doesn't look like it's going to happen, but we can dream, right?
Exactly. I don't think it's in the cards, but you never know. Never say never in politics in Washington. Who knows? If the girls are on their little path and she's getting bored at home, who knows what she'll do? Are you watching or listening to any of these confirmation hearings at all?
I watched a little bit of them. I watched the Jeff Sessions and the Rex Tillerson, and I try to tune in when I can.
Right. Well, Jeff Sessions is having a precedent-setting, or not precedent, but I guess it's never been done before, with Cory Booker coming on out to be the first sitting senator to ever testify against someone going up or down. So Jeff Sessions has been put up for Attorney General of the United States, has a horrific record of racial discrimination in his distance past. I mean, he hasn't had that much in 20 years. But just because it doesn't happen 20 years, I can see what they're saying. And Cory Booker is now being the first sitting senator to testify against him. Now, you know me and Cory Booker. I was all about – that's who I wanted Hillary to pick for vice president. I thought he was young. I thought he was smart. He was black. He was cool. I thought he would be a good counterweight to Hillary Clinton to bring her aboard. And so I love him a lot. I think he's going to do good eventually. Like I said, what you and I talked about privately when we're out there, there isn't really any Democrat right now to take the mantle. And I think when we had, of course, Kane run with her, Kane's not someone that's going to take up the mantle. Someone younger like Cory Booker or one of these younger Democrats out there, I think, would have been a lot better placed. But now we're kind of just lying around.
I agree. I just wonder how much of this, though, is Cory Booker trying to, you know, make a name for himself within the Democratic Party. So
I hope he does.
Like Cory Booker, but I got my eye on him. I'd like to see, you know, what he's going to be doing over the next few years.
Right. Yeah, I'd like to see what happens. It'll be very interesting to see. I'm glad he's doing it. Sessions. I don't know. I got to tell you, I'm a little torn. It looks like he's going to go through no matter what. The thing about the confirmations, like we all know, is for these appointments for cabinet positions, they only have to have a simple majority of 51 votes, and Republicans have 52. So we know they're all going to go through almost no matter what. As bad as these people are, So he's probably going to go through. I really don't know if he would be the one that I would hang my hat on defeating the most. It's easier for me to say, I guess, as a white guy of privilege. But I think if he hasn't talked about it in 20 years, I'll give cut the guy a little bit of break that we can kind of change his mind a little bit out there. Now, as far as this Tiller guy goes, that I'm not sure about. The guy's Secretary of State with all the ties he's had and all that pro-business and has never had any diplomatic position in his life, I don't know what he's going to be saying to other countries. He kind of freaks me out a little.
Oh, absolutely. And I have concerns of so many things when it comes to this. I mean, with the Russian ties to Trump and Rex Tillerson having such a good relationship with Putin, and we know the way the oil has gone and the sanctions that are set up, and could just see where Putin, you know, could have possibly had some influence, quite frankly, into the Rex Tillerson pick with Trump. And I wouldn't
right.
be surprised if that doesn't come out at some point in the future.
Right,
it doesn't take a whole lot to connect the dots there and say, you know what, is it possible that Putin's in his ear and says, hey, you know, I'll throw out all these trolls and I'll throw out all this fake news and I'll throw out all this cash to do everything I can to get you to win. And in exchange, you do a favor for me. And what's that favor? Well, you get to pick the top, you know, the top guy in my cabinet, the guy who's going to be Secretary of State. So, and I just,
right.
we may never actually get the news reporting that we need to prove that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Exactly. I'm not a
right.
huge conspiracy person, but I can believe, I think there's something back there. I think that mm-hmm. where there's smoke, there's at least a little bit of fire. May not be a lot of fire,
right?
But there's some fire we're going to find out somewhere down the road. But the only thing,
it's
and same
too
thing
easy for people to go, you know, I didn't know about it, or I didn't, you know, it's just too easy to act like you're asleep at the wheel when it comes to these things, and I don't agree with it. The whole, oh, I don't know, you know, in 2017, I just don't agree with it. You know, you know, I'll just leave it at that. Trump knew.
Right.
You know,
I agree 100%. I think so. He had to know something. And same
right.
thing, I think Rex Tiller, because of the low threshold, I think he's going to get the 52 vote. Now, it is interesting, Marco Rubio hit him pretty hard today. So I was impressed
oh,
with Rubio, who I think is kind of a goofball. But I did kind of watch a little bit of MSNBC before we came on today and they to get
mm-hmm.
some clips of what was going on. And he was hitting him pretty hard. Which I was impressed
yeah, he
by.
Was hitting him, he was hitting him pretty good about whether or not, you know, Putin was a war criminal. He couldn't get him to admit that he thought he was a war criminal. So,
right.
Which, again,
got
I find
that.
Interesting, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what does
cool.
he just say, yes, I think he's a war criminal. But yet he acts like, oh, no, I'm not going to say that. It just has me suspicious.
Right.
It has me suspicious. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how that vote comes out. I still think he'll have the other 51, but he may pull Rubio off. We'll see what happens on that one. Now, the press
right.
conference today, I missed kind of the first half of it. Did you get to see much of that at all?
I watched about three quarters of it, the first three quarters, and then I kind of got lost interest.
It was – I kind of read the transcript of the first part. I saw the second half. You and I met for coffee today, obviously, and talked a little bit about it there. But it's just still so much stuff going on. That's just baloney, bullshit. Like this whole thing, I'm not going to step down as president, but I'm going to put my interests in a trust, not in a blind trust, and I'm going to let my sons take over the business and manage the business, but I'm not going to let them talk to me about it. We're not going to talk about it ever for 4 years.
Right.
We're not going to talk
right.
about my business. Like, are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding
uh-huh.
me? How is that even
you know,
possible?
That might have worked in 1935 whenever you needed the Pony Express to send somebody a letter. But I'm not so sure that in 2017 if that's going to fly with me, that you're not going to talk to him or have any contact. It doesn't make sense.
Exactly. And as I said, I mean, we know they're a very close family, and there's going to be contact no matter what. But we're supposed to
uh-huh.
believe that when they're sitting around talking, that they're not talking any business whatsoever. It's all. So what are they going to talk
right.
about then? If it's not business, they can talk about the little baron growing up, or they're going to talk about everything that's happening and watching is going to affect the business anyway. It's like, what is there to talk about if there isn't business? It's like, oh, my gosh. And then they try to make – he's such a showman. I swear to God, that's one thing he's so good at. All these jillions of folders on there to show all of his business interests that he's going to pass over onto him and just – trying to get the optics on there. It just drives me up a freaking tree. I gotta tell
you. Yeah, I mean, did we really need all those files and all that paper sitting there on the table? I mean,
it was
I'm not so
ridiculous.
Sure we needed that.
And I have had fun though with the whole, this whole leaked part that Putin has something over him. That's totally. It hasn't been totally discredited, but it's none of it is verified whatsoever. So who knows how much of this is true? But it has been fun watching him squirm for a good 18 hours on that. And you talked about those golden showers. Oh my God, have you seen the memes on these things?
I have seen a few of them. Yeah.
Oh my God, they're so bad. It is so funny, guys. If you haven't heard about it yet, I mean, one of the things that's supposedly put up, and I guess BuzzFeed put up this, what the entire part of this is, that's totally not substantiated, but BuzzFeed put this up on its website. And one of the things on there is supposedly Putin has a video of Trump with two Russian prostitutes who he asked for golden showers for. And if you don't know what golden showers are, I'm going to have you look it up because we're a PG-13 radio show here. But I'll let you look that up. But it's been just some killer, killer memes just going all over the place. My favorite one so far is Whoopi Goldberg in her little ghost outfit saying, "You're in danger, girl. U-R-I-N-E. Danger, girl." I was dying. I was kind of dying. I love me a little Whoopi. But yeah, that's the only thing that's been kind of, I mean, I if there was anyone else besides him, I'd probably feel really bad for him that he's getting it. But the thing that cracks me up most about it is he's so indignant about it. It's like, this should not be leaked. I can't believe this is leaked. No one should be leaking these government things. Well, what, you didn't say that when the FBI guy leaked Hillary's might be getting investigated some more a week before the election. You never said a word about that. You thought that was all good.
Well, you also didn't say a word about the fact that WikiLeaks was coming out every day with new leaked information.
Exactly. He shared that.
Nobody had anything to say about that either.
Right.
Yeah.
But if it happens to him, oh, my goodness, that's a bad thing. I can't believe that we're doing that. Da, 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 da. Oh, my God. Horrible.
Yeah, it sounds
horrible,
an awful lot like Putin, doesn't it?
It does, isn't it? Isn't that amazing
how
that works?
Amazing, isn't it? Really is. Yep.
A couple of the things in the press conference is they're going to repeal and replace Obamacare. They're immediately going to replace it when they repeal. Like I said, that's easier said than done.
Will they have the vote?
Well, that's the whole thing. A repeal they could get away with. They can put it in a budget thing now that they control Congress. They can put it in budget and get and they repeal it with 51 votes, which is a chicken shit way to do it, but they could do it that way. But to pass new legislation – they have to have the 60 votes to override the filibuster. So how are they going to guarantee they're going to replace it? They can get rid of it. They can repeal it, but they can't guarantee the replacement. Oh, I have this plan that's going to go through. You can't guarantee that. Everything he says is a guarantee. And he just doesn't have any idea what he's talking about.
Well, that way, whenever he makes a promise and then Congress doesn't do it, he can say, see, they're the ones. He'll just use them as the scapegoat. That's all you're seeing.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. And the thing that pisses me off the most is, like, all these little things they're saying, they could have done this all. Republicans could have put these things that they miraculously are going to have ready the day they repeal it in under 3 weeks. They could have had this thing the entire time and presented to everyone. Even Obama himself has said that there's lots of flaws. We need to work together to fix some things. If they were going to fix it, they could have presented these fixes 8 years ago, and they didn't say what on any of them. And now all of a sudden, since they're in charge, we'll put it through. We'll be successful now. We'll let it try to be successful now. It's just, you know how I get on those things. And then Trump is going to supposedly do a Supreme Court justice in 2 weeks. Like we said, that is the one thing. I mean, these cabinet appointees are 51 votes. The Supreme Court's got to be 60. So this is one place where these Democrats better hold strong as these Republicans did and not cave. Because the one thing the Republicans did do is they held strong to this thing for 11 months. That's the only thing I'll give them credit for. And it's credit for doing a really shitty thing. But I hope the Democrats hold the same fire to them and not give them these 60 votes for just anybody. It better be someone that's very neutral.
Well, history has a funny way of coming back on people. So I would think sometime, right. It might not be the near future, it might not be 5 years, but somewhere down the road here, 15, 20, 30, believe me, you, the Democratic Party will get even for this. So
right.
They're not
so.
Going to forget. They're not going to forget.
We have the inauguration a week from Friday, of course. I remember you and I talking back during the campaign how you wanted to get tickets for it, and I was going to try to find – you still want tickets for the inauguration?
No.
Okay. I'll stop looking for you. I could have done something with Hillary, probably could have got you there. But with Trump, I didn't think you'd need him quite as much. I think it's funny he's having trouble getting people to play for him. Last thing I heard was Moby, musician Moby. He said he'd DJ for him if Trump would pay him with his tax returns, let him see his tax returns. So I thought that was funny. But everyone, he's getting a lot of no on there. So that's it's kind of cool. I kind of enjoy that, I must admit. I am still a little bitter. I admit to being a little bitter.
Yeah, I mean, last I heard here, it's saying that they're still going to have that 16-year-old America's Got Talent contestant, Jackie Ivanka, is going to sing. And they're also she's going to do the Star Spangled Banner, and they have some other cover band called the Reagan Years. Apparently, they only performed songs that were released during Reagan's 80s term.
Oh, they're seriously?
Yeah,
well, that's funny.
Yeah,
and
that's what they call the Mid-Atlantic's hottest party band is called the Mix. So. Nobody's ever even heard of him. Nobody even knows who that even is. Yeah.
Star-studded. Well, maybe since Meryl Streep is such an overrated actress, he can get Scott Baio to come up and do something. Who knows? A little chachi action.
That's true.
All right, let's get out of political mode. Let's bun over to pop culture, LGBTQ. Let's take a quick break. Guys, if you want to come chime in with us, we're welcome to have your calls here. Again, you can call us at 1-347-989-0126. Don't be shy. I see a couple of you in the chat room there. If you have a question in the chat room, go ahead and give it to me, or go ahead and give a call in. You'll be able to hear the show while you're waiting for your question to be read. We're going to play a little bit of one of my favorite songs. It's been out for a while, but I really like this. This is Rabel's 11 Blocks. You're listening to Standing on My Soapbox with my special guest, Jeremy Gatto, today. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
11 blocks from my door to your doorstep. 3 years later and it feels too close. I thought I broke the last of that breakdown. The morning I sold your winter coat. It doesn't feel right when I'm grabbing a coffee. The same old spot, but I'm on my own. I feel okay in the day, but at nighttime, you know how I get when I'm alone. 'Cause my mind won't stop, Mr. myself counting on the way. Right when I stepped in the door to the party, I stepped outside to grab a smoke. You know how I get when I'm alone, no. 'Cause my mind.
Two.
blocks from my door to your doorstep. 3 years later, it feels too close.
And we are back. That is Rabel with 11 Blocks, one of my favorite songs. Guys, we're talking pop culture and LGBT news and politics today. This is Standing on My Soapbox with my special guest, Jeremy Gatto, one of my best friends here in Ohio. Welcome back, everyone. If you want to kind of chime in on anything we're talking about or have any subjects of your own to talk about, don't feel shy. 347-989-0126. We've got about another half hour left here. Let's dive into a little bit of LGBT news, Jeremy. I know this is not your subject, but we appreciate you being a great LGBT ally, and we're definitely going to need it in the coming years with all this Trump nonsense we have coming at us. Some of the things I wanted to go over, trans covers, National Geographic has put 9-year-old Avery Jackson from Kansas City, a young trans girl, on their cover. Great article on gender roles. Of course, National Geographic's pretty well-known magazine and pretty far respected. They've had the typical backlash, a couple of cancellations, but overall it's proved to be a very positive thing. Also, mm-hmm. Fort Lauderdale Tourism is starting to promote trans issues on their literature. They've always been great. Their travel bureau there has been really good about putting all the pro-LGBT things that happen in Florida, but they're also including trans now. So that's kind of good news for everything. When We Rise is a new miniseries. It's coming out February 27th on ABC. It's written, created, directed by Dustin Lance Black, who is probably best known for the film Milk with Sean Penn. You ever see Milk, Jeremy?
I have, though. It's been a while.
I saw it when it first came out, so it's been a while for it. Great movie making. Dustin Lance is an excellent writer, excellent director, great proponent of LGBT causes. He's, of course, engaged to Tom Daly from England, who is the Olympic diving champion for England there. But this miniseries coming on February 27th, it's going to be on network TV. It's all about real family stories in the fight for LGBT equality. And it's going to be a little bit controversial, but it's going to be kind of good. He had a great story. He was on the radio recently talking about how it's something everyone can relate to. We're going to take a second. We're going to play a quick clip from that. This is a clip for the trailer for When We Rise. It's a new LGBT miniseries. It's going to be on ABC February 27th or I believe March 4th. Be back on the other side of this. This is When We Rise.
You all have to get yourselves together. This is everybody's issue.
The city will not be taken over by incorrigibles and deviants.
Keep one step ahead of the blacks and homosexuals.
You're never going to get that minute if you're not willing to fight for it.
Order! We will have order here!
We are not a menace. We will not be silent any longer.
God have mercy on your twisted soul.
Help me. If we ever want to be free, we have to stop hiding.
All of you combined are stronger than you know.
It's an illness. It can be treated.
I don't understand.
I don't understand!
What are you afraid of, Roma?
I won't run. I'll fight.
We fight until they realize this is our home, and we're fighting with our lives!
Too much left to fight for.
We're an out-of-the-box kind of family.
This is not gonna go away.
You got a loud voice. We could use another loud voice.
No more!
I feel in my heart that it matters not who or how they love.
You want to be my daughter?
I always was.
Alrighty, and that is the trailer from Dustin Lance Black's new show coming in February, When We Rise. It's going to be a strong piece for the community, so be sure to mark your calendars on that. Want to make sure you have a little yearly preview on that. Jeremy, do you happen to watch the Golden Globes at all this weekend?
Oh, only a few bits and pieces. I didn't get to see the whole thing.
Okay, well, one of the big things that was crashing the internet in the LGBT world was Ryan Gosling, who was lead actor for La La Land, which is just killing it. We'll talk about that in pop culture again in a second. But Ryan Gosling won the Globe for Best Lead Actor. And as he was going up to the podium, in the background that you could really barely see, but they've blown it up, of course, because it is the internet anymore. But they had fellow Best Comedy Actor nominee Ryan Reynolds from the movie Deadpool, and Andrew Garfield, who was nominated in drama category for Hacksaw Ridge and for Silent, were making out in the background there. And no one knows if it was for a show or for what. But it was really funny. It just set the LGBT internet on fire. Everyone zoomed in on that and saw them kissing. So I guess Andrew Garfield was on Stephen Colbert last night. Do you watch Stephen that much?
Yep, I like him.
I like Stephen. I didn't catch last night. But Stephen had Andrew Colbert to talk about his movies on. And, of course, he had to discuss the kiss. He said, you kind of were breaking in a little bit with this same-sex kiss. And what do you have to say about it? He says, I can't believe in today's day and age is something we have to talk about. But if I was just trying to comfort Ryan and say that I thought he was just as good as Ryan Gosling. He was kind of being straight-paced but funny about it. And he says, I just don't see it as an issue. And Colbert says, it is an issue either. And all of a sudden, the two of them go in and lock lips. And so Colbert and Matthew Andrew are kissing on there. And they kind of break off, and they look at each other for a second. And Colbert starts to talk again, and he goes in for another kiss. Just hilarious stuff. I'm so glad that people can kind of tease and laugh about that kind of thing, because it's pretty funny. But it's great when we have straight allies like that and people like yourself that can really make fun of it and not go all crazy of everything. So I thought that was pretty fun. But that's all I have in LGBT news. Anything you have?
I might have a little something.
You do?
Something.
Wow,
yeah,
share with
today,
me,
but,
Jeremy.
I don't know if you heard today, but did you hear that Caitlyn Jenner will attend Donald Trump's inauguration today? I got announced.
Oh, my God. Unfortunately, I'm sure that's probably true. As Republican as she is, I can imagine that is probably true. Really? I did not hear that. You read that today, huh?
Yeah, apparently she's quoted in a June interview as saying, Trump seems to be very much for women. He seems very much behind the LGBT community because of what happened in North Carolina with the bathroom issue. I'm just curious to know, you know, I don't know. A lot of what I hear from the LGBT community is that they don't like Trump, and I just find it interesting that you've got such an outspoken person in Caitlyn Jenner coming out now and supporting him. I'm curious to know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I've talked about it before in the Left of Straight Show. She is very controversial in the LGBT community. In one hand, you have to respect anyone that starts to live their own truth, right? So good for her for coming out as transgender, and obviously that's not an easy thing to do, to be one of the world's greatest athletes and have to do that so publicly. And so you got to applaud her on the one hand. On the other hand, she's really her show. She had that show, and it really showed what she didn't know about the community. I mean, she's like a lot of celebrities, honestly, is so self-obsessed with herself, and even though she made this huge journey for herself, she didn't realize what it meant in a community. So she hasn't been that welcoming to the community as a whole. And return, the community has not been real happy with her. And she's still a very staunch Republican. And these views, like you said, you've talked about some of her views, and she's had more agreeing with Trump and agreeing with a lot of other Republicans' issues, has not made her very a high-profile friend of the LGBT community. As much as everyone accepts her and congratulates for the strength and power there, as far as the community goes, she hasn't done us any favors. Let's put it that way. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy. A lot was said about her time about the series. I talked a little bit over the last year and a half or so on the Leftist Trade Show. The best thing about her series was the people that was surrounding her and kind of teaching her the way it is. She had some great transgender ladies around her that were kind of teaching her the ways as she is going more public in living her truth. And they were the real stars of the show, talking about some of the real things. Like, they had to keep telling her, it's like, okay, you're coming from a real place of privilege here. You've had just as big a struggle as for acceptance, but you don't have a lot of the roadblocks everyone else has that has to turn tricks on the street or face job discrimination, everything else in the transgender community. This is all pretty big piece of cake. You can live off your millions and never leave the house if you didn't want to. So she had a lot of great supporting people around her that really made the show worth watching, even though it only lasted for two seasons. But yeah, very interesting you brought that up. I kind of, if any big LGBT person would go there, it would be her. Now, that being said, there was quite a few LGBTs that voted for Trump, and there's actually Gays for Trump Facebook pages and things like that, believe it or not. I couldn't. I could not believe it, personally. But, yeah, it's kind of interesting. Well, cool. Thanks for looking into that. Any other things on your radar in the LGBT community or as an ally you've noticed?
No, I think that's all for LGBT.
All right, cool. Well, let's go ahead. We're going to take one more song break, and then we're going to go into our last bit today, pop culture. Guys, I still see four people in the chat room. You're being shy, ask a question or call in. Don't be afraid. I know you're out there, but if you don't want to call in, that's cool too. We'll talk for you. Again, it's 347-989-0126. Give us a call. Let us know what's going on. I'm going to play a little bit of Preston Wiggins. He's going to be on the show next week. Artist Pregnant. This is his song, Femme Fatale. You're listening to Standing on My Soapbox with special guest Jeremy Gatta. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
When you're looking for something new, it's at that moment that you see her. All the women want to be her. It's true, she's got that mysterious allure, too sexy to ignore. You tell yourself to just say no, but with just one look you turn.
And we're back. That was Preston Wiggins with Femme Fatale. Preston's got a new album out. He's going to be on the show next Monday, a Left of Straight show. Be sure to tune in for that. You're listening to Standing on My Soapbox. I'm here with my best friend, Jeremy Gatto. Jeremy, how you doing? You holding out okay? Uh-oh, I lost Jeremy. Jeremy's got to call back in. Ho-ho, no. Call back in, Jeremy. We just lost him. Big intro and everything, and he's gone on me. But we're going to go ahead and get started. We've gone through a bit of politics. We've gone through some LGBT news. We're going to go into pop culture next. If you have anything to talk to us about or you want to help weigh in on any of the subjects, please give us a call at 347-989-0126. Listen to us every Wednesday right here on Blog Talk Radio, Standing on Our Soapbox, with special guests every week. So let's see if we can get Jeremy back. A couple things I'll go into. If you have not seen, over the last couple months, they've been talking about the new Baywatch. The Baywatch is being remade with The Rock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is doing the Hasselhoff lead. He's being the Hoff. And they have Zac Efron being one of the leads. And I forget who the girl is being lead. But they have a new trailer. It's the international version of the trailer. So, hey, spoiler learning, if you have sensitive ears, there's a lot of cussing in the international one. Of course, here in the States, we can't do all that, so they're rated PG-13s or R's, whatever it's going to be. This one is the international cut, so there's a lot of swearing in it. Kind of funny, though. It looks like it's going to be very much a campy take on Baywatch. And Zac Efron is looking shredded, man. He is pumped as hell. And, of course, The Rock is always looking good. Dwayne Johnson's always looking good. And they're taking a very tongue-in-cheek approach and a teasing the TV show a little bit. So let's go ahead and play that for you. When you have a chance, look it up on YouTube and watch it, because it's as much eye candy as listen to here. This is a little bit of Baywatch trailer. International version. Cover your ears or turn the volume down. There's kitties in the room. Here we go.
Our team is the elite of the elite. The heart and soul of this very beach. We protect when no one wants to protect. And we go above and beyond.
This has nothing to do with saving people. You're refrigerators.
Oh, this is Baywatch, you pussy.
There's more to this job than just swimming.
Victoria Lee, the new owner of the Hampstead Club.
Drugs, murder. It all gets started once Leeds took over.
I thought we were lifeguards.
Everything that you guys are talking about sounds like a really entertaining but far-fetched TV show.
Why does she always look like she's running in slow-mo?
You see it too?
Why'd you try and be a hero?
I'm Baywatch, motherfucker. Can you flip that? Can you flip that? Can you flip that? Can you flip that? You going night-night, bitch. Can you flip that? Boom, boom, boom.
Grab my hand.
You turned the canals into the goddamn X Games.
Yeah, that's because we were in lifeguard pursuit.
There's no fucking such thing as lifeguard pursuit.
Even if you were police, what you did would still be totally illegal.
Okay, well, I mean, it's a good thing we're not police then.
So there it is. Like I said, it looks like it's going to be pretty funny, pretty tongue-in-cheek. Of course, that's the international version with much more swearing than I think we're going to let him get away with here in the U.S. Have you heard about this Baywatch movie at all, Jeremy? Jeremy's back with us. Have you seen the trailer for this movie?
Yes, I've seen one trailer, yep.
Yeah, it's going to be funny. I like The Rock. He's kind of fun. He's been kind of getting into a lot of these fun movies, almost like Vin Diesel's been with The Pacifier and things like those. I think they're kind of getting some great comedy chops on him. And Zac Efron's always fun to look at if you're in our community. So that's new and going on. What anything you have on pop culture?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw or not, but in Los Angeles, they're going to put the George Lucas Museum. They're finally going to build it. It's going to cost $1 billion to put this museum in. And it's going to have a collection of George Lucas's personal collection that he's accumulated of fine and popular art that includes ephemera related to his Star Wars franchise. It's going to be like this futuristic-looking museum that they've got a pretty cool design, I guess, with it. And they're talking about a 2021 opening, so that sounds pretty cool. I guess they're going to put it right downtown.
Wow, that is cool. I know there was a lot of controversy because, of course, his Skywalker Ranch is up in Northern California, and they wanted to have that thing really bad. And at one time, and I guess Lucas got a little pissed at the community or something, and like almost put it out for bid, because I remember Cleveland or Youngstown was even trying to get it at one point.
Right.
And I know L.A. and everyone else bid on it, so they decide on L.A. for sure, huh?
Yeah, they've decided it's going to be built. They've got the funding and everything in place for it. I guess he's funding the majority of it himself. So must be nice to have those kind of pockets. But
yeah, really, huh?
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome, though. If you're a Star Wars nut, that is cool. I told you, I still haven't been there. I told you about it, I think, I don't know, 5 or 6 months ago, about that one Mike's Diner on the way to Akron that has an X-Wing fighter in front of it. I still haven't been there. Have you been to there yet? You at Akron a lot.
No, I know what you're talking about, though. I've driven by it a few times. I've never actually stopped and taken a picture or anything, but I have seen it before. I've driven by it.
We have to do that when it gets not as cold as balls as it has been, even though it is going to be 50 tomorrow. But we're going to have to go there because I've heard about it like 6 months ago, I think, when I told you about it. We have this little diner place called Talmadge or one of the cities right outside of Akron there. That has this X-Wing fighter in front. They have all these weird memorabilia all through the diner. And it has a full-size X-Wing fighter in front of it. We have to go get our picture taken in front of that, Jeremy, and bring it back to the show. That'd be cool. Have to do that
The
spring. Very cool. Well, congratulations, George Lucas in Los Angeles, and a big foot to Northern California. They kind of got screwed big time over that, I guess.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
Wow. Don't want to get on his bad side, that's for sure. You don't need a bajillionaire to be mad at you. That's horrible.
No, I sure don't.
Have you heard of a movie coming out, Urban Myths, about Michael Jackson and Elizabeth Taylor and Marlon Brando going on a road trip?
No, I haven't. I'll have to read a little bit more into it.
It's kind of cool. I just read on it today, and I had not really heard of it. It's called Urban Myths, and supposedly, even though it's called Urban Myths, this is supposed to be true, that right after the 9/11 happened, Michael Jackson, Elizabeth Taylor, and Marlon Brando decided to take a trip. Now, there's no actual footage of it or anything. No one knows what they did, but supposedly it really did happen, or according to the reports. So they're making kind of a movie over it. It's totally made up movie because no one knows exactly what they did. But the big controversy surrounding it is Joseph Fiennes, who is, what's his name, Ralph Fiennes' brother. Joseph Fiennes is playing Michael Jackson in the movie, a white guy,
wow.
A white Irish guy. And they showed one of the first pictures of it today, and he looks like frickin' Michael Jackson. I mean, he looks like Michael Jackson. So, yeah, when you have a chance, Google this up. And again, it's called Urban Myths. He's playing Joseph Fiennes is playing Michael Jackson. Stockard Channing, who I love from West Wing and Grease and everything, is playing Elizabeth Taylor. So she's going to frickin' knock it out of the park and look exactly like her. And then Brian Cox is a British actor that I'm not too familiar with. He's playing the Marlon Brando role. So they've kind of got the first trailer out for it. They're showing the first pictures of it. And I think in the back of my memory, I remember some kind of controversy about a white person playing Michael Jackson, but I didn't know what it was about. I think I remember hearing that 5, 6 months ago, whatever it was. How long ago? Well, it's now coming back out. Now they have stills of it, and you've got to look this up, Jeremy, because it's just amazing, because he looks like Michael Jackson. Crazy. Crazy makeup. So that's kind of interesting. I saw that today. Anything else you have in pop culture for us, my friend?
Nope. Nothing else.
You're my big music person. Who's hot in the music scene right now?
Oh, geez. I mean, as usual,
you've got
Justin Bieber killing it. You know, Justin Bieber, Rihanna, Kanye West has a few new tracks out. They're all killing it right now with some pretty good music. Juicy J.
Is Kanye West getting any controversy because of his breakdown stuff? Is that affecting his music at all?
I think he definitely lost some fans from, you know, especially with his meeting with Trump. I noticed a lot of people said they weren't going to listen to his music anymore. So I think it hurt him a little bit. But Kanye's always kind of been that guy that, you know.
Right.
You either love or you hate. There's really not a whole lot of in between with him, so.
And are you watching anything on TV right now that's really hitting your hot button?
Just my usual shows. I've been watching that Designated Survivor. I don't know if you've watched that. I don't know. It's a new show. And
you know, I love that show, and I'm pissed off. It's like a 3-month hiatus. What's up with that?
Yeah, I know. So
they had this great cliffhanger in December and said, we'll see you in March. It's like, what the heck? That was crazy.
That's probably my favorite new show, you know. And, of course, everybody's watching This Is Us also. I like that show as well. So a couple of new shows out.
I just found This Is Us. I talked about it actually on the radio show on Monday. I had heard all the buzz about it, right? And sometimes if I don't usually start a show from the beginning, it's very hard for me to go back and watch it. So I never watched it. I wasn't really sure what it was about, but I knew there was a lot of buzz on it. And Saturday, USA was doing a marathon on it. They were playing all the episodes from the beginning. So I taped them all so I could miss all the stupid commercials. And I freaking watched the entire 11 episodes all Saturday night until like 3 a.m. I thought it was incredible. It was really good.
Binge watch.
Oh my God, I did, but it's really good. I mean, there's a lot of buzz. I don't believe, but the buzz was worth it on this. It's kind of crazy.
Well, you know, it's from the writers of Parenthood, and Parenthood was the show that I was in love with. I mean, I watched that show from the very first all the way through. Oh, Parenthood's the greatest show. I mean, I love that show. And every year they would say that the ratings weren't fantastic. They might get rid of it, but it always made enough to hang on, and it stuck around for a long time. And you know, and then the writers went over and started writing this, and this has been a little bit more of a success story than Parenthood was as far as ratings are concerned. But Parenthood, I thought, was one of the best shows on TV. It was a great show.
See, I was really surprised that I got caught into that thing. Like I said, I don't watch shows if I miss them. And I think Parenthood had Lauren Graham in it, who's like my Gilmore Girl favorite, right? And so I'm really surprised I never saw that show, because I am a Lauren Graham fanatic. And I guess she was really good with it.
You go back and have an opportunity, you should binge watch it. It's a pretty good show. It's a good series.
I will look into that. Any movies? I want to see Hidden Figures as far as movies go. That's on my movie watch list. What's on your movie watch list you want to see?
That Live by Night, you know, that movie with Affleck, that Ben Affleck wrote. He also produced it, and he stars in it. He pretty much did everything for it.
Well, that's with Sienna Miller. She's been doing the talk shows.
Yeah, it's a gangster movie. It looks pretty interesting. I like gangster films, so I'm curious to see if it's going to be any good.
Nice. All right, well, that's it for us. We are finished with our soapbox at Soapbox Dismount, Jeremy. We are done. We gave it all a good call. I hope everyone enjoyed. Guys, you got to call in next week. This is your guys' talk show to call in and let us know what you're thinking, too. But we enjoy talking for an hour, so that's cool. Jeremy, thanks so much. Hope to have you back as another guest sometime. Next week, we're going to have Jasper Collins. Oh, my goodness. Jasper plays – he's not in any regular series. Jasper Cole, I said Collins. Jasper Cole will be my special co-host on standing next week. He's not on a regular series, but he's played probably every bad guy you've ever seen in the movies, Jeremy. The guy has one of those crinkly faces, not the Mexican guy, but the non-Mexican guy that always play the bad guys. You know, those people that you recognize immediately every time you see him. Well, Jasper's one of those guys. He's got a couple of cool little pieces he's been in lately. He's going to be here actually next Monday on Left of Straight Show to talk about his acting, and then next Wednesday he'll be here to be my special co-host on our soapbox here. But guys, thanks everyone for tuning in. Please follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Left of Straight. That's at LEFTOFSTR and the number 8. On Facebook, you can check out our Facebook page at Left of Straight Show. And you can look at my personal Facebook on Scott Fullerton. I won't bite. I usually accept friends there. unless you're a weirdo. Thanks for coming on again, Jeremy. We're going to play it out. You're listening to Standing on My Soapbox. We will see you next Wednesday. Stay on the line for me, Jay.
Thanks for listening to Standing on My Soapbox, brought to you each week right here on the Left of Straight Radio Network. For sponsorship and advertising opportunities, check out our website at www.leftofstraightradio.com. Join us here every week and be sure to download our free app at your iPhone or Android App Store. Just search for Left of Straight Radio. Thank you and good night.